Hey, this morning I wanted to share just a brief story with you before I open the Bible together and we look at the scripture that I want to be sharing with you this morning. Is when I was taking off my winter tires, I do this every year, get my jack and, you know, get my torque wrench out and all this kind of stuff, and I'm taking the tires off, my winter tires off, and every year they just come off, no problem, no issue. You know, I change about three tires, I'm on the fourth tire. And this one lug nut, this one, it doesn't want to come off. The other four come off, okay, but there's a one that just, you know, I'm like applying force, and like I'm thinking I'm about to kick the tire, you know, use some heavier tools to get it off. And I realized, well, maybe I just need to apply just a little bit more force to get this thing to move, right? So I start just reefing on the thing, and I finally get it to start moving. And it just felt like it. Maybe it was cross-threaded or who knows all the terminology, but I'm like applying a lot of force and it's slowly coming off. I'm thinking, oh, praise God, I'm gonna get this last one off. I'm about to go down the highway with my family to Vancouver today after the service. I think I gotta get this tire off. You know, I gotta do whatever I gotta take to get this tire off. So I'm reefing on the thing now, and about four or five pulls later, all of a sudden, ping, like it's off. Like it's permanently off because it's broken off. What I didn't realize is I was putting all that pressure and all that torque on it. The metal was actually heating up. And so I went to grab the lug nut like just a fool and went, whoa, it's just like burning hot. So I thought, not only do I have like a broken van that I'm supposed to take down the, you know, down the road, now, you know, the lug nut's on fire and, you know, I'm missing the, you know, I don't even know what I'm going to do now. So I had to take it to the shop and everything's okay and, you know, please pray for us, but I think we'll be okay. But what I realized in that moment as a pastor, as a preacher, if anything comes my way, I'm like, that'll preach. You know, anything that I feel or comes at me, I'm like, we can, you know, preach that in some capacity. But as I was applying pressure, I thought about this. In areas of our lives, when things are difficult, or we have some sin, or some frustrations, or some disappointments, we spend a lot of time on it. We put a lot of pressure on it, and we think about it a lot. And what does that produce? It produces brokenness. It can't fix the problem. You can't just think it through. You can't just figure it out. And in the process, you break it. You're broken. And it even begins to hurt you. You go to grab that lug nut, that thing in your life, and it actually burns you. So have you ever felt burned and broken? And these kind of things in our lives. And I want to talk about this morning about a false identity that we might have about ourselves because we get so caught up in sin and brokenness and shortcomings that we begin to think differently about ourselves. We have a different identity than what the Bible speaks about. We're going to look at two great stories in the Bible that speak right into this situation. And somebody gave me this wonderful mug that says identity right on there, so I thought I'd fill it up. It's, I guess, from the camp a couple years ago. So I'm going to have some good identity right now. But let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Just before I read it, let me just stop and pray for a sec. God, this morning, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the time that we've had to worship you. We thank you for the time we've had to pray to you. God, right now, I just pray in your name that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning as we open your word. This is your truth, and we needed to hear it from you. So we thank you that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25, there's even probably a subheading in your Bible that would say something to this effect, the parable of the Good Samaritan. It might just say Good Samaritan. But let's just start reading the story. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. How foolish is that? To test Jesus. Like, come on. This will be interesting. Let's see what happens here. Teacher, he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. And how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. And this guy just goes on. He's just asking for it. But he wanted to justify himself in front of Jesus. Like, you're just a recipe for disaster, isn't it? So he asked Jesus, and who's my neighbor? You know, I'm so smart, you know, I've got so much knowledge, you know, let's hear what you have to say about it. In reply, Jesus said this. A man was going down, so he's sharing a story. This is a parable. This is a story, so we got to be a part of the story. I'm going to share it with you a little bit. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down on the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And so too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now we need to understand what's happening in the story. We're going to come back to it in just a moment. But think about the person that's asking this question. This person is an expert in the law. This person is very, very attuned and very, very knowledgeable about the Word of God. And he's challenging Jesus, saying, what must I do? Like, is it all about good works? He's asking, you know, what do I have to do? Because I'm a good guy and I'm going to do good things. And he's asking Jesus this. And is it enough head knowledge to produce or to get well? Is basically what Jesus is going to challenge him with his thinking. And the first person that he encounters, the first person that he shares in the story, Jesus says, the priest is coming by, which is representation of the law. So the law is presented to the person that's broken and beaten and bruised, and the law passes him by because it cannot fix him. You cannot just have some rules or a rule book and think that you're going to get better. You cannot just post this kind of stuff all around your house, which you should do, it's biblical, but if that's the only thing that you do, if it's all up here, it will not change your life. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach this intelligent man who has so much knowledge. He's saying the knowledge that you have will not save you. All of the teaching that you have that you think you know that you could challenge me, Christ, it will not solve a thing. That's the thing that God is trying to teach him here. The second person that walks by is a Levite. Now, a Levite in the Old Testament scripture is a representation of a prophet. Now, if we read through the Old Testament, we know that there was many kings and leaders, and they all had prophets around them. The prophet was to speak what God was wanting to say to the king or the person who was in charge, and the Levite, the prophet, was there to represent God, but they still had to choose for themselves. So the prophet is put in our lives, maybe a preacher, a sermon, some ideas are put in there, but does it have the power and authority to change your life? It walks right by. You're still broken, you're still hurting, like this man on the side of the road, you're still bleeding to death. You're broken and you need help. And where are you going to find help? And Jesus is showing very, very clearly here that these two things will not heal you. These two things will not be able to reach out and change your life. You're still going to be broken, caught up in your sin, and it won't restore you. I don't know where you're at and where your journey is at. I know for a lot of years when I first got saved, I just felt like I kept kind of tripping in life. Like I felt like, okay, I lived 23 years of wickedness. I received Jesus into my heart, and now I'm living for Christ. And then I kept running into walls. I said, what is going on here? And when I would look compared to God and his holiness and what he's called me to do, I would feel bad. I would honestly feel terrible. I thought, man, I just want to get over this. I want to be good. I want to do good. I want to, you know, get all this past out of my head. And it was still there. It was making me feel guilty, making me feel condemned. And God is saying here that the two things that we face when we see the law or the prophet or somebody speaking to us is that we keep going in a vicious cycle of life. There's so many people that have written books, and I've heard video series about this, about, you know, the first two things that we see. We see God's law and we see our sin, and we just go in a cycle. And for many Christians, we never get past this. And I've been stuck in this for many years, and I come out of it, but sometimes we just get stuck there. That's as far as we go with our walk. We got Jesus, we're going to heaven, But until then, it's going to be difficult. And I can't seem to get over this. And I can't seem to see anything besides the false identity I put on myself, that I'm a broken sinner and there's no hope for me. And I'm never going to live up to this expectation. And there's good news, though. I promise you. I'll be a little bit hard on you, and then we'll have some good news. Some good identity. Mark Gunger, who speaks on marriage counseling, has written many books and has done a video series. We played him at the Valentine's night. We played just a snippet of his series. He uses this great illustration. So imagine you're walking in a mall, and you know they've got reflective glass or something, you know, full-length glass. And most, I won't say all, because some of you might not label yourself as this, but most women, when they're walking down and they look over at the mirror, oh my gosh, like, are you, what has happened? Or there's a photo op, don't take a picture of me, you know, they don't want that. So most women are feeling that way. Okay, so say a guy walks by this mirror, he's like, yeah. Yep. Still got it, you know. Guy's walking, he's pretty confident, right, about himself. The illustration is so great because for some of us, or maybe even most of us, we feel like the woman. When we look at this, and we look at what we're called to, and then we look at the reflection of our attitude and our action and what's going inside of our heart and inside of our head, we feel like we don't measure up. And we get into this vicious, vicious cycle of beating ourselves up. We don't need a devil to beat ourselves up. We kind of do that on our own. Would you agree with that? We go through this, and we got to get over that. We got to be able to get beyond that. It echoes a story that we would read in the book of Genesis. So very first book in the Bible, we jump into chapter 3. This is the story of Adam and Eve. This is a story of what had happened. The serpent came in and deceived the woman and the man and they ate of the fruit. And then God shows up after they've eaten of the fruit. And just watch the imagery here of what happens. So we jump in verse 8. So chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Do you sometimes feel afraid to come to God, to spend time with God, to open his word, to pray, because you feel bad, you feel condemned, you feel like your sin is weighing you down and you want to hide from your God? Watch what it says here. If I can find where I was now. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" I think often we look at God here. He sees us. I mean, God's not, "Where are you?" Like, come on. Like, it's God's garden. He knows where you are. He knows exactly where you are. You're not hiding from God. And God calls out to you, you know, "Where are you? What are you doing?" And he knows that we're broken and lost and full of sin. And what does he do? He comes looking for us. He wants to have a conversation with us. It goes on to say, "Oh, because you've done this, there's some consequences. Sin produces consequences. God will get you out of the ultimate consequence of death. You get to go to eternal life." But I'm just saying about regular decisions we make. There are consequences, good and bad. So Jesus says here to the serpent in these verses, he said, "Serpent, you know, who deceived Adam and Eve, you're cursed." He says to the woman, he says, you know, "You're going to have pain in childbirth." He says to the man, "You're going to have to work the ground." So he says, there's your consequences. And then that's the end of the story. Is that the kind of God that we serve? Who just lays the law down and says, "Good luck. You're in the garden now, boot. You know, have fun." What do we read about? Oh, it's so good. Thank you, Jesus, for the therefores and the buts and the afters, because this is what happens in verse 21. The Lord God, he saw that they were broken and that they were naked and that they were lost, and he did this for them in verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Jesus is the great example right here. We've seen the Sunday school photos. It doesn't say that he was a lamb, but it's a good representation that the first killing, the first death was an animal so that the people could be clothed, so that you and I can be clothed with Jesus, with righteousness, because we're naked and broken all by ourselves. But he doesn't leave us alone, praise God. He doesn't just leave us there all broken off in the world and just saying, good luck. You've sinned, it's your fault, you're out. Wow, so good. Thank God that he does those kind of things. He doesn't leave us where we are. We need his help desperately. So let's go back to the story. Let's jump back into the story in Luke. Luke chapter 10. We got all the way to verse 32, so now we're going to be in 33. But a Samaritan, and we remember the subheading, a good Samaritan. Who is good? There's only one person that's good. As he was traveling, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he gave him a Bible. He gave him the law. He gave him some words of wisdom. He was like a prophet. He just spoke into his life. Oh, you're going to get out of that. You know, we're going to be praying for you. Good luck. And he kept walking by. Did he do that? Absolutely not. You can't read that in here. A good Samaritan, as he was traveling where the man was, when he saw him, he took pity on him. Praise God that he cares about us. He takes pity on us for in our situation. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. Just listen to the imagery of the things that we're talking about here. Took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you have. Which of these three do you think was a good neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Thank God that we have a God whose character is love and mercy and grace. So that we don't have to get it all together. The beauty of this story is that they're broken and he's lost all of his money. He's lost his clothes. He's lost his identity. And God sees him in that state and reaches out to him. He does not walk by again and say, get your act together and then I'll reach out to you. Clean up yourself and then I can minister to you. Then I can use you. When you're broken in a mess, God says, I can reach out to you. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. Oh, it's wonderful news, isn't it? Listen to the words here in the story again. He bandaged his wounds. What kind of wounds? Wounds speak of like I have a scar on my face because of something that happened when I was a kid. God says, I can restore that. I can heal that. I can make that well. Whatever your past is, whatever kind of wounds you have. Then he says he was going to pour on the oil and the wine. Old representation of the Holy Spirit. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be great. And you can't get anywhere by yourself. The good news is that Jesus has like a Lamborghini and a donkey. You know, Jesus has got his donkey. He's going to take you somewhere. He'll be able to carry you to a new place. Because you're broken and you can't even move. He's able to pick you up and bring you somewhere that you can't go on your own. So good. Now, it might be a little uncomfortable on the donkey, but at least you're going to get there eventually. It's going to be a slow ride. You have lots to think about during the journey. He took him to an inn. He took you to a place. He's bringing you to a place. He's bringing you into a new place, a new season. He takes care of you. He took care of him. We need somebody to take care of us. We've got a heavenly Father that loves to do these kind of things. And when I return, when Jesus returns, I will reimburse you. It's a promise from God. He will take care of us for eternity. We've got promises in heaven. We could even speak about it in this sense, that when you take care of others and you invest in others, God will reimburse you for doing that. It's a great, great word. Great, great scripture. There's 2 things happening here, that Jesus loves us even while we're broken. And I wouldn't say that he loves us more when we're broken, but at least he loves some honesty in this story. And he's really the only one that can get you out of that situation. No amount of knowledge or understanding or, you know, right and wrong is going to be able to fix you. Only Jesus can fix you. Nancy shared with me, I remember we talked about a sermon where I was talking about spitting, right? Where Jesus had spit in people's eye, and let's not be a church where we're just like spitting all the time, a spitting church. But you had shared something with me that I honestly did not know, and I appreciate you doing that. There was some material that you shared with me that when Jesus came around to blind people and he spit into their eyes or spit into dirt and then put it on their eyes and they were able to see again, the actual representation of that, the importance of that in the day that it was written and in the place that it was written, is that the people believe that in your spit, which is the truth, is the DNA is in there. So if you remember, what were you and what was Adam made of? He was made of dirt. And then Jesus spoke, God spoke into that. So the DNA of the saliva and who you and I used to be was able to heal the person, was able to bring restoration in that broken person's life. So Jesus wants to spit on you. I just want you to know that. You know, DNA. You know, he wants to, you want to receive that. And don't pray for that. It's a bit weird, but anyways. It's important to understand the way that our God works. He wants you to have something that you do not already have. He wants you to have something new and fresh in a different way that you can see. You can't see on your own. But with God's vision, you can definitely see the things that are going on. I'm going to share some, be always transparent with you. It'll be fun. This is a manual. This is not the Bible. This is a manual on how to build a trampoline. I've built trampolines for years. Man, I got four kids. I'm an expert at building trampolines. But I got a new brand this year. I moved down here. I took my old trampoline when I was in Whitehorse, and I literally threw it over the fence. I've got a neighbor who had kids. I said, here you go. And that trampoline landed in the yard. It was brilliant. So we moved down here. We thought we'd buy a new one. So we waited for it to go on sale. So I got the one on sale. And I started putting it together. And I even looked at the reviews, and I seriously laughed at that. I looked at the reviews, and they said, the instructions are hard to follow. It's hard to build this trampoline. And I thought, I build trampolines all the time. I got this. I'm going to nail this thing. So we built the trampoline to the bouncy part. We didn't have the sides and all this kind of mesh part on, but we just had the trampoline part. You can bounce on it. I thought, look at that. Nailed it. Brilliant. So we go in the house. I come back out after dinner. It's getting, you know, later at night. I think, I've got enough time to finish this off. I go to put the side poles on, and I realize that there's certain parts that have to be certain ways, otherwise you can't put the side poles on. And I looked in the manual, nothing. You know, nothing about telling you which way to put it. So I went around the trampoline on all six poles. I thought, hopefully I got one wrong by accident. But all six of them were backwards. It's like, what's going on here? I literally had to take the whole thing apart, right down to like the nuts and bolts, to put it back together the right way. It's getting late at night, and like any good person would be thinking, like, this is ridiculous. This is. At one point, I was doing it with my feeling only, because it was so dark in my backyard. Then at one point, I was like, oh, my hand's bleeding now. I was like, you know, I'm like, my wife is in the house, kids are in the house. They might be doing that because they know that, you know, dad's probably losing a gasket or something. So I finally get it together, and this is what it says on the very last page. It's so great. Should have asked my wife for help. So I got the whole thing together, and I think maybe in the process, I might have come close to losing my salvation. I'm having fun with you. But the great thing is, if that did happen, it says to disable the trampoline, follow assembly steps in reverse order. I thought, oh, I got my salvation back. I healed my hand. You know, the sun's now coming up, right? So I went through that process to learn something. That even when I walked out of the store, I had the receipt, and I was honestly joking with my son Moses. We buy the trampoline, it's on sale. I'm like, oh yeah, it's good. And I look at here, I just read it, it says, have it installed, call, you know, 1-855. I looked at Moses, I said, who's the idiot that would phone that and pay money to have their trampoline built? I might do that next time. Because I don't want to go through that process again. So I said all of that to have fun with you because I felt like in that moment, you know, when I was a kid and those things came at my life and at me, thinking like I just invested like 2 hours of my life and then I did it wrong, I would probably freak out. I'd probably throw things. I'd probably, let's be honest, I'd probably curse and swear and kick things around. And even when Amelie and I first got married, there were some times I would build things and she would leave the room. I'd say, good, I just need to, you know, get this thing in order, like a little bit of force there, and it'll go or something, right? A little bit of glue can always fix something later, a little duct tape can always fix a wound or something. But I realized that in life, my identity and myself and my situations were very troubling, and I got so frustrated when things didn't work out. And I got so frustrated when I didn't do something right. I got so down on myself. And over the years, God has been able to restore and help with that process so that I can look at myself and have a different identity and not be so hard on myself. Because reality is we're going to have shortcomings and we're going to sin and be broken until Christ comes, because only Christ can absolutely heal us. In heaven, it will be all perfect. But until then, we live in a broken, fallen world. And the sooner that we can come to that realization and not be excited about our sin and our brokenness, but to see it for the way God sees it. And to see the way God sees us, that's a different place to be at. So I thank God that he gives us these kind of stories to help us in our time of need. When we're down on ourselves and we're broken and we're on the side of the road, man, we need a God. Man, we need Jesus in our life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, I won't flip to it just because it's short. It says, I came to seek and save what was lost. In the original word lost, it means broken. So God came to save and seek what is broken. Because we're not lost. God knows where we are. You know where you are. But we are broken. And we need Jesus in our lives. How do we respond to a God that comes across the road to us, bandages us all up, sets us on, you know, a solid foundation, you know, loves on us, gives us the Holy Spirit? How do we respond to somebody like that? Somebody that would take a bullet for us. That's our God. I don't know where you're at this morning in life. Sometimes I feel like I'm tired. Maybe I'm a bit exhausted, I'm a bit weary. And God is saying, you know, get in the passenger seat because you're in the driver's seat and you're trying to steer yourself way too hard. You're just like a, you know, a stiff driver. And God's saying, get out of that seat. That's my seat. Let me lead and guide you. Let me bring you to a new place. So this morning, I wanted to pray with you because I feel like I'm not the only person that needs this kind of stuff. And often, I give us an easy out, in a sense, some easy ways to pray with you. And I remember even last week I called you out on salvation prayer. That was awesome. I had a lot of fun with that. Just encouraging you to, you need Christ in your life. But this morning, I want to do something similar. I just want to explain what I'm going to do, because again, I like to be really, really clear so it's not awkward. This morning, I'm going to ask you, if you're here this morning, in just a moment, and if you're broken and you need some restoration, you feel like you're on the side of the road and nothing's helping you. Everything that's been offered to you is not helping your situation. You just still feel like you're broken and your identity is a mess and you need Christ and the only person that's going to help you is Jesus Christ. And then I'll just ask you to raise your hand in a moment. And then for those of us that raise our hand, I'm just going to ask you to stand. I won't ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to put a microphone in your mouth. I just ask you to stand up. And then I'm just going to pray for you. I want to pray that God will restore you, God will heal you, God will bandage up your wounds, and God will set you on a new path, and his Holy Spirit will help you. That's what I want to do this morning. And then after that, I'm not quite sure still, but let's just make sure we do that one first, because that's what our message was about getting a new identity, making sure you know that your Heavenly Father loves you, and he sees you in your brokenness. And there's no judging, there's no condemnation. He runs across, the story was probably like he ran across the road and was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Let me help you. Let me pick you up and bring you somewhere. So Jesus is like that this morning as well. It's not just for the Bible's time. It's actually here this morning, and it's available for you. So I'll put my hand up first. You know, I'm broke, and I need help. Anybody else with me? Hands up, you know, high and proud and loud. Yeah, good. So like I said, would you just please stand? Let's just stand up, and I'd love to pray with you. And if that's not you this morning, that's awesome. If you could pray for the others that are around you, if that's not you this morning, you're just sitting there like, well, this message wasn't for me, and that's okay, then just can you just pray for the people that you see standing as well, kind of agree with me this morning? Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for the honesty in this room. God, I thank you that you love us no matter what. God, I just pray against fear. I pray against condemnation. I pray against, you know, evil thoughts and bad thoughts, Father, in Jesus' name. Would your Holy Spirit, as it says, you pour on the oil and the wine. As the oil comes down, as your Holy Spirit comes down, it cleanses us from all of our iniquities, Father. God, I thank you for that. Father, would you clothe them this morning with a new identity in you? May they see themselves as you see them, Father. May you heal and restore all wounds in Jesus' name. Would you continue to anoint them again and again and again with your Spirit? Would you carry them to a place of peace and rest that they've never experienced before because they've just been going in circles, Father? Would you bring them out of that in Jesus' name? And God, I thank you that you're going to take care of them today, this afternoon, and for the days and years to come. Thank you that you've paid for our debts. As the place that you bring us, you've already prepaid for that, God. We thank you for that. Thank you for promising that you'll return one day and you'll grant us the kingdom that will be with you in peace and blessing and paradise forever, God. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Life is a set of hills and mountains and journeys and valleys, and God can be with you through all of them. I thank God that we're a church that is being transparent with one another. Sometimes it's difficult to get up, isn't it? I remember for so many years, I just felt so ashamed and so guilty. I thought, I'm the only one feeling this way. I'm the only one struggling. And you're not alone, and God loves you. And we're gonna move on to better days, amen. This morning, last night I was, you know, this message, you know, is great. I'm so thankful for this time. Last night I was really wrestling with this message because I wanted to share it and I wanted to bring us to this place. And so that part's good. That part's done now. And this thought kept, you know, poking at my heart about. You know, we did salvation last week, and nobody came forward. And I wasn't expecting anybody, honestly, to come forward. If you did, that would have been amazing. But we just plant seeds, you know, just as a church. We just plant seeds. We just plant that you're going to get better. We plant there's better days ahead. We plant that there's good things in store for your life. We're just going to keep planting that seed. And I'm going on, actually, vacation after the service. And I was just kind of checking out. And God was like, no, you need to do something. And I said, oh, man, like, no, I'm in vacation mode, God. I just want to relax a little bit. And even this morning as I was preparing this message and I was in the back room during the prayer time, so before the service starts, the leadership and the worship team were in the back room. We're just praying for the service and for this time. And Les, you called me out there. We were just praying, and Les said, I just think we need to pray for Pastor Rob. And I was like, man, no. Now you just like, it just felt like it was a confirmation because I was just sitting there praying. I thought, okay, Lord, you know, we'll play the service out and see what happens. And Les was like, we need to pray that Pastor Rob would be obedient to what God's saying. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord. Like, come on, man. Like, what? And I'm just sensitive. I've said this often. I'm sensitive to people. Because I want people to be obedient to God, not my voice. And when I challenge people, I get a little bit concerned of your response. And again, I don't need you to respond to make me feel better, but I need you to be obedient to what God's doing. And in that process, it's difficult sometimes, and I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. So that's not my intention here this morning. But my intention is to be obedient. I have to be obedient. So I say all of that to say this, that there is people here that don't know Christ, and they need to know Christ. And I'm going to go on a vacation, so what happens the next 2 weeks, you know, you'll figure out. But I have to plant that seed. Because when you come through the doors of this church, you need to know that you need Jesus Christ. That there's nothing else. You cannot be good enough. If you look at the person that asked Jesus these questions, he was an expert in the law. He was, in a sense, you know, perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect, but he knew the Word of God. He knew it inside and out. And he said, you do have everything you need, but you're missing the most important ingredient. Because you will still be broken and naked on the side of the road without any help unless you let me in, unless you let Christ come into your life. And I fought that for 23 years of my life. I thought, how foolish now I look back on it. So easy to, like, you know, have hindsight and go, so what a waste of 23 years. And I've honestly had thoughts in my head, you know, sometimes where I said, I wonder what would have happened if I would have given my life to Christ earlier. Now, I mean, God uses every situation to bring himself glory, so I'm not going to hang on that too long, but it's just interesting to think about, man, I wish I was just obedient sooner. And I pray that for my kids every time, all the time, every day, on my knees, I pray that for my kids, that they would serve Christ their whole life. They wouldn't have to experience what I had to experience for God to cuff me up so they'd get my attention. So this morning, I just feel like I want to make it a little bit easier this morning. Here's what I'd like to do, because I don't feel the same as I did last week. I want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head in just a moment. And then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you're the person that needs salvation this morning. And then if it's you, what I'll do is after the service, then I'll come find you and I'll pray with you, I promise. But I just wanted to just come at it from a different angle this morning. So let's just go there. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes this morning. If you know Christ, man, please pray right now. Please pray in the Spirit that people would be obedient this morning. This morning, Todd's going to come. We're going to give you some music, make it a little bit easier too. Get a little background going here. Set the atmosphere. So if that's you, I just need to see your hand. Where are you this morning? You need Christ. You desperately need Jesus Christ this morning. You're going to be sweating bullets. I guarantee your heart's going to be racing. If your hand's up, please put it back down. I see that. Thank you so much. Thank God for these moments. The Bible says that when you confess and you give your life to Christ, there's a party going on in heaven. We can party here with God. We serve a good God. I sense right now some of us are praying for our loved ones. I think even our kids. I feel that. You're crying out for your kids because they don't know Christ. So we agree with you that they're going to come to faith. We're going to intercede this morning on behalf of those kids, that they are going to turn their lives to God. They're far from God, they're broken, and God sees them where they're at. He's going to come to them, he's going to restore them, he's going to bandage up those wounds, he's going to fill them with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we just claim these little ones for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. going to ask the rest of the worship team to come forward this morning. We're going to close this morning in one more song. And God's good. So good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just stand one last time together. Let's worship the Lord this morning.